though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Purport. The word madhvyapashraya means under the protection of the Supreme Lord. To be free from material contamination, a pure devotee acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. There is no time limitation for a pure devotee. He is always, 24 hours a day, 100%, engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. To a devotee who is thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very, very kind. In spite of all difficulties, he is eventually placed in the transcendental abode or Krishna Loka. He is guaranteed entrance there. There is no doubt about it. In that supreme abode, there is no change. Everything is eternal, imperishable, and full of knowledge. Sarva karmanyapi sada kurvano madhvyapashraya matprasadadavapnoti shashvatam padamabhyayam. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Om jnanatimirandhasya jnananjanashalakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namasreshtam manamapi Shachiputram atrasvarupam rupam tasyagrajamurupurim maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shriguram tam natosmi Andeham shriguro shriyataf padakamalam shriguru navaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamsha Vedahang Etam Purusham Mahantam Aditya Varnam Tamasaf Parastatam Eva Vidvati Mrityumeti Nanyah Panta Vidyateyam Jayati Janani Vasa Devi Ki Janma Vado Yaduvara Parishat Svayador Bhir Asyanda Dharman Stira Chara Vrijinakana Susmita Sri Mukhena Vrajapura Vanitana Vadayam Kama Deva Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse summarizes the whole teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna wanted to withdraw from activity. Krishna told him, be engaged in all kinds of activities, but be under my protection, under Krishna's protection. And what's the point of it all? The point is to reach the eternal and imperishable abode by Krishna's mercy. Generally, when we're engaged in action, we think, I am the doer. Kartaham. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah hankara vimurhatma. Kartaham iti manyate. The foolish, very foolish person thinks, I am the doer. Although he's under the control of the three modes of material nature. Due to false egoism, he thinks, I am the doer. But one should act, but knowing that one is under the protection, taking shelter of Krishna. It's the whole point, to take shelter of Krishna. And by Krishna's mercy, such a pure devotee reaches the transcendental abode. Srila Prabhupada gives a brief description of what the activities of a pure devotee are. He's always 24 hours a day, 100% engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Ahaituki apratihata bhakti. So this is the ultimate teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. If we ask different devotees, what is the ultimate teaching of Bhagavad Gita? They may give different answers. They may say, always think of Krishna, surrender to Krishna. These are all correct. They're not incorrect. So another of these answers may be to take shelter of Krishna. We're all taking shelter. Ahankara vimurhatma kartaham iti manyate. A very foolish person thinks that I'm in control. I don't have to take shelter of anyone. Others, they have to submit to me. But we take shelter of others. The great egoist, when he has a toothache, takes shelter of the dentist. When he needs to, to empty out his stomach or his intestines, he takes shelter of the toilet. He needs to go to the toilet. I mean, he could just do it anywhere or everywhere, but he goes to a toilet. That means he's taking help from others who made that facility. When he goes into a McDonald's or whatever, he takes the food. He's taking help from others. He's not the independent doer of anything, what to speak of everything. So we all take shelter. This taking shelter, the idea of taking shelter of foolish people, that is expressed by Shukadeva Goswami. He criticizes this. Deha patya, what is it? I wrote it down because I knew I'd forget it. Deha patya kalatradishu atma sanyeshva satsvapi teshang pramate nidhanam pashanapina pashati. The foolish person, they take shelter of their wife, kalatra, deha patya, the children, the family, etc. These are described as fallible soldiers because they cannot actually shelter us. They cannot give us shelter from death. No one can help us. Even from life, no one can give us shelter. From all the difficulties we experience in life, we're all destined to suffer so many difficulties. Who can protect us? We may take shelter to some extent. The wife may be sympathetic, at least. We hope that she'll have a shoulder to cry on. But no one can help us. Ultimately, no one in this world can help us. We take shelter of the fallible soldiers. Means they're not Krishna. He's infallible. Achyuta. No one can go against Krishna. So if we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna will deliver us. If we take shelter of anyone else, we'll be in trouble. Unless that person himself or herself has fully taken shelter of Krishna. Everything else is fallible. So deha patya kala tradishu. This means we take shelter of our body, we take shelter of our children, we take shelter of our wife, etc. So that etc. can be expanded into everything in the material world. Elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, it's stated that ato griha kshetra sutapta vitayar janasya moho yamahammameti. We take shelter of, first of all, of the wife, then the home, the country, patriotism, my country, children, family, friends, society, friendship, and love. Oh, there it is again. I'm going to take shelter of this chadar to protect me from the attacks of this little fly, which it's a painful biting fly. Am I fully sheltered here? Okay. They're very expert in finding any little place they can come in. Krishna gives them intelligence also. So we take shelter of our... the first mistake is we take shelter of our body. I mean, what does that mean, to take shelter of our body? That means we think we are the body. And everyone thinks... to anyone who hasn't been trained in the philosophy of the Upanishads, which the essence is in the Bhagavad Gita, to the idea of... that we're taking shelter of our body. What does it mean? People just assume I am this body. That's the first mistake. And from that, every other mistake develops. It's one mistake after another. The first mistake is to identify with this body. And then the next big mistake is to take shelter of the mind. I am the body, I am the mind. We don't even think about it. It's not that you find the average person walking down the street philosophically thinking, I am the body, I am the mind, I have to take shelter of it. It seems like an automatic process, but it's called Maya, illusion. People talk about the real world. Whoops, you can bite right through a chadar. How about that? In the real world, people say this is the real world. What's so real about it? That we're struggling for everything we do. I've said this at least 1,000 times, and I'll probably say it at least another 1,000 times more in this life, but everything that every living being, not only human beings, but even animals, fish, birds, and plants, everything that the living being does at every moment is meant to maximize his happiness and to minimize his distress. Nevertheless, we get distress. We do everything for happiness, but we get distress. Then why is that? Why? Why are we suffering in this world? Everything we do we think will make us happy, but it doesn't. It works out the opposite. Yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga dukha yonaya evate adyantavanta kontaya nateshu ramate buddhaha. The whole idea that we shall get happiness by interacting the senses with the sense objects is a great mistake because it just brings distress. Therefore, an intelligent person doesn't try for that. He knows he's not the body, he's not the mind. So this seems like very advanced philosophy. You've heard this expression, thinking out of the box. In Google, in Silicon Valley, they have this saying, company motto, think differently. But everyone thinks the same. They may be thinking differently, but it's all within the big box. We're all caught in the big box of Maya. Think differently means think of something new to make Google more money. Think of some new idea, new technology. But it's all in the big box of Maya. So get outside the box and outside the whole materialistic way of thinking. We're not the body, we're not the mind. As long as we take shelter of the body and mind, even if we talk about being religious, I believe in God. What does that mean? God's something, someone, or some nothing, somewhere, and God helps me to enjoy my body and mind. And then ultimately I go to heaven where I enjoy my body and mind forever. We don't even think, my body, my mind. We just think, this is me. So it's a whole completely different perspective. Taking shelter of Krishna means taking shelter of instructions in Bhagavad Gita. We have to understand these things. People ask, what do you believe in? Like religion is something you just believe in, whatever you want to believe. People have different beliefs. But Krishna gives us the understanding by which we can become liberated. It's not just liberation from birth and death. That liberation from birth and death comes automatically for one who understands that we don't belong here at all. Deho smriti nahija shangsha bandhan kahata, Srila Prabhupada often used to quote from Narottam Dasa. One who knows, or one who doesn't think that he's the body, one who's free from thinking that he's the body, then there's no question of him being bound in this material world. And Krishna very mercifully gives his instructions in Bhagavad Gita. We take shelter of these instructions. It's not something just sentimental or something we believe. Krishna gives clear knowledge of the difference between spirit and matter and the difference between spirit and spirit. Many transcendentalists, they accept there's a difference between spirit and matter, but then they say there's no difference between spirit and spirit. It's all the same. And then they come that spirit and matter is all the same also. They start off being very philosophical. Spirit and yes, we're interested in spiritual life. And then we understood spirit and matter is all the same. So just enjoy matter. That's what it comes back to. And then their high-sounding philosophy. But there is a difference between spirit and matter. And there's a difference between spirit and spirit. I am not God. There's another great revelation. The first great revelation. First of all, I'm not the body. Number two, I'm not the mind. Number three, I'm not God. Amazing philosophy. It's not even really philosophy. Philosophy is something exalted, but this is just ABC stuff. But for people who are stuck at the level of eating sausages and drinking beer, this is called philosophy. Or even for big university professors who they're still on the same level of foolishness for all their intellectualism. They're on the same level of foolishness as the sausage eater and the beer drinker who they think they're superior to. I'm very cultured. I'm a university professor. Very intellectual. But they have no idea of what is actually real. And they call philosophy some strange speculations. So taking shelter of Krishna means to no more take shelter of the body or the mind. I know I'm not this body. This body is temporary. This mind is temporary. The mind is always changing. The mind goes through so many somersaults, so many fluctuations. I'm not this. I don't belong to this country. I don't belong to this planet. I don't belong to this whole material world. I belong to Krishna. We're taking shelter of Krishna. Generally we think taking shelter, you just take shelter and then the other person does everything else. Take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna does everything. But Krishna says here, sarva kamani api sada kurvano madhvya pashraya. That you taking shelter of me, Krishna says, means you have to follow my instruction. His instruction is to be active. So if we are active, how are we taking shelter of Krishna? Because taking shelter means you just let them do everything. But that's not Krishna's instruction. We should be active, but without thinking that I am the doer. We're knowing that Krishna, he is directing the wanderings of all living beings. So we take direction directly from Krishna. Directly means through the parampara. Otherwise, we're active, we're still under Krishna, but via his material energy. So one who takes shelter of Krishna becomes a different person, becomes a transformed person. He's no longer taking shelter of anything in this material world. Has no faith or confidence in anything in this material world. We have no faith that anyone in this material world can help us in any substantial way. No one here can help us. It's a cold and chilling thought. No one can help us in this world, but there is Krishna. No one of this world can help us. We may come to that realization just by some philosophical speculation, and then you become hopeless. Unless we find that prastasmatu bhavo no vyakto vyaktiya sanatanaha, there is another world beyond this material world, that is the eternal spiritual world. There is Krishna. We can take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, in this material world, there's nothing that can help us. Nothing makes any sense. Some philosophers, they come to that conclusion. And then they either think, okay, let's enjoy ourselves while we can. It doesn't matter what harm we do to others. Or they think, well, let us just do good to others. That's more pious. But they can't do good because they don't know what is good. So they think doing good to others means feeding the poor and giving them education and all these kind of things. But what's the use? Or they become skeptic or just suicidal. What is there? You just, someone may look and around and see, what is there in this world? You get born, you grow up, you die. What is there? Nothing. Then what's the point? What's the point of living anyway? They may think like that. So taking shelter of Krishna, that is the ultimate solution to all problems. Suicide isn't the ultimate. We may think suicide is the ultimate solution. But it's not a solution because there's no such thing as death for the soul. So we kill the body and then we have to suffer for that sinful activity. We have to suffer as a ghost. A ghost is very unhappy being. Because he has no shelter. He has no, doesn't even have the illusory shelter of a gross body in which to enjoy the world. He can't even go through the farce of trying to enjoy the world. So the ghost becomes disturbing to others. Because they want to enjoy, but they have no gross senses to enjoy through. So a devotee becomes transformed as if a madman. Taking shelter of Krishna doesn't make us passive, makes us active, but not foolishly active. One who becomes absorbed in Krishna, he forgets about this world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, describing to the Mayavadis of Varanasi, who thought that spiritual life means to become very quiet, and calm, and stop all activities, very sober, very dignified sannyasis. They were upset with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was a sannyasi. At least they thought he was a sannyasi. Of course, he's beyond all material designations. And he was dancing in the streets and making lots of noise with a whole bunch of what they consider to be low-class people. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave shastric support for this. They said that Vedanta Patan Dhyan, studying Vedanta and meditating, Aishanyashya Karma, these are the things that sannyasis should do. So we should study Shastra, they should study Shastra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted from Shastra. Actually, he quoted what his guru had taught him as being the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One verse which substantiated Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing like a madman in public. So the essence of Bhagavatam, which was told to him by Ishvara Puri, his spiritual master, Evang Vratas Priyanama Kircha Jatanuraga. Duta chitta uchai hasatyato rodati ran roti gayantyun madhavan rituti lokabhayaha. When one is actually situated in love of Krishna, because he feels Krishna is so dear to me, he wants to chant Krishna's name. When the feeling for Krishna has melted one's heart, one loudly chants the name of Krishna, he may laugh and cry and call out and sing like a madman, dancing, not caring for what outside people think. A transcendental madman. So, taking shelter of Krishna means becoming a madman, or madwoman, as we have to say in the modern age, or mad something in between also. So, taking shelter of Krishna means letting go of all the other things we've taken shelter of. Body, mind, country, bank balance, everything. We have no connection with that. No, nothing. We're only under Krishna. One becomes, and our whole sense of identity with this world, we lose. We don't feel that I belong here. What have I got to do with this? And we don't care what other people think of us. This is the Evang Vrata Sapriya Nama Kirtya, this verse. We don't care what. We take to Krishna consciousness fully. In the beginning, we take to Krishna consciousness because we are attracted. We feel some attraction. In the beginning, when I say in the beginning, I mean someone, most of us have come to Krishna consciousness in this life as a personal decision. Some of us were raised in Krishna conscious families. But most of us have come as a personal decision. We were raised in an atmosphere of non-Krishna consciousness, but we felt attracted to Krishna consciousness. We felt so attracted. We want to change our life. We want to be part of this. There are levels of being part of this. When one comes to the level where one wants to be Krishna conscious and nothing else, then one becomes initiated. It's a big step. In the beginning, there's some attraction, and that increases. And then hopefully we get some understanding, intellectual understanding. Not exactly intellectual in the mundane sense, but in the transcendental sense. Just like Krishna explained to Arjuna, we understand from the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we're not this body. We don't belong to this world. We belong to Krishna. We have to take shelter of Krishna. So taking shelter of Krishna, as Krishna states here in Bhagavad Gita, that is explained in more detail in Srimad Bhagavatam, ultimately to become a madman. Ultimately, because we are, I say ultimately, because we are advised to go step by step. Becoming Krishna conscious means to leave behind all conceptions of this material world, to let go. I don't have anything to do with this. But we are advised to go step by step. What does that mean? Does that mean that, now you hold on to all your material attachments and chant Hare Krishna? Then after some time, you can let the material attachments go down a little bit, and you go on chanting Hare Krishna. We don't say that. We don't say you hold, we always say give up your material attachments. But at the same time, we understand that this material conditioning is very deep, very strong, and even we have to cultivate the sense of surrendering, of being fully surrendered to Krishna, but at the same time understand that we do have many deep attachments. And if we just try to imitate dancing and chanting like a madman, then it'll be imitation. It won't be the real thing. We may dance and chant and sing in ecstasy and then afterwards smoke a cigarette. I've seen it in Bengal many times. It looks very ecstatic, but it's not backed up by... The kirtan seems to be very ecstatic, but it's not backed up by any manifestation of real detachment from the world. Krishna consciousness means bhakti parishanubhava viraktiranyatra. Bhakti is described as being, feeling, experiencing Krishna, and concomitantly to be detached from everything else. So there's no real experience of Krishna if there's no detachment from everything else. Both things have to be there. So we have to cultivate this gradually, step by step. That's the process of sadhana bhakti. Sharanagati. Sharanagati means the process of taking shelter of Krishna, going toward that shelter. In one sense, we fully take shelter of Krishna. Dikha kale bhakta kore atta samarpan. At the time of initiation, a devotee surrenders himself fully to Krishna, but at the same time, those material attachments, we have to work on them, understand that they're very deep-rooted. Krishna can help us. We take shelter of Krishna to get free from these material attachments. But at the same time, we don't imitate that we have come to that level immediately, because it can be dangerous to go too fast. That may sound, how can that be if we fully, well, in one sense, yes, we should fully surrender to Krishna immediately. But going too fast means that we try to show ourselves or convince ourselves that we're more advanced than we actually are. And then what often happens, we see, is that someone, they looks like they're becoming very advanced, but then they just go down like a yo-yo. Goes up and then down. But then the yo-yo comes up again. But then usually those who go down like that, they never really get up because they never really were up. It was just a show. So we shouldn't go too fast. We shouldn't go too slow. Shanai, shanai, ruparamed, buddhya, dhriti, grihitaya. Step by step, Krishna says, with intelligence and determination, we should make advancement in yoga. The emphasis should be going on fast, going quickly, not that we deliberately hold on to material attachments, but intelligently also. Buddhi dhriti grihita. Buddha dhriti grihita. With intelligence and determination. We have to let go of material attachments. Let go of our identity. But at the same time, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing like a madman in the estimation of the Mayavadis, at the same time he did maintain the dignity of a brahmana and a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had three different stages of consciousness, that of being completely forgetful of this world, completely absorbed in Krishna, that of maintaining external consciousness and something in between. External consciousness for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not mean that he was in Maya, of course it didn't mean that, but that he acted in Krishna consciousness but very much cognizant of the world around him. He acted, you could say, in many ways like a normal person. When someone would come, he would greet them. As a sannyasi, people would bow down, offer respect, and he would acknowledge that. He would take his meals and bathe in a regulated time. This is external consciousness. Not fully Krishna conscious, but with deference to the world around him. And sometimes he was just completely absorbed in such ecstasy. He had no consciousness of this world at all. And there were states in between also. So, a Vaishnava is fully absorbed in Krishna. The perfectional stage is exemplified by great devotees like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. In the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur deliberately had his followers dress in a respectable manner, not like Babaji's, which, of course, that is the most respectable dress, but in the terms of the materialistic people, in a dignified style. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram with brahmanas, which means very dignified people, very sober people. But such brahmanas, they may in kirtan jump and dance and shout, but in their general behavior, and they'll be staid. You know the word staid? It means like that, sober, respectable, like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very sober, acted like, as a sannyasi should behave, in a very respectable manner, as a brahmana should behave in external consciousness, and then with his associates, he would fall into states. Not that he said, okay, now all the kamis are gone, let's get into ecstasy. It wasn't like that. It was just a natural absorption that he would completely lose himself in kirtan. You must have that saying in your language also, to lose yourself. You say that in your language? Yeah. So It's a common concept. It's not just something in English. You lose your... What does it mean to lose yourself? Well, actually, in Sanskrit, it could be, or in philosophy, anatma, anatma. That comes up in the Bhagavad Gita also. Anatmanastu shatrutve. One who's not cognizant of the atma, of himself, he's his own enemy. But that's another sense. But the sense of losing ourselves means we just forget who we are, what we're doing. That is through extreme emotion we lose ourselves. It can be through anger also. That's not a very good way to lose yourself. That's a very dangerous way. Or it can be just in absorption, in ecstasy, maybe absorption in music. We could be absorbed in that. Just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would lose himself in kirtan. And hopefully we've all had that experience, that we should hope to regularly have that experience, especially in kirtan. The kirtan is not something we can turn on automatically. It's not something that comes by playing the mridanga very ecstatically or having a very nice voice, but it comes from the purity of the intention of the devotees, the actual surrender, the taking shelter. The devotees, as they take shelter of Krishna, they take shelter of the holy name and just become totally absorbed, and then there's only the holy name, and we lose ourselves in Krishna. We may be in some service. We're cooking for Krishna. We have a big feast to cook, and we just forget about this world and our body, and we just completely absorb whatever the service may be. Distributing books for Krishna, we just total absorption. This is really taking shelter of Krishna means to be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It's not mindlessness. Forgetting who we are doesn't mean to become a foolish person. It means to be completely absorbed in Krishna. That's the very healthy state. If someone has amnesia, that's a psychological disease, more like a neurological disease. But this kind of forgetting ourselves, that is desirable. That by losing ourselves, we actually gain ourselves, because what we think is ourselves is not ourselves. So that's what we want to lose. We want to lose identification with this world. And gain ourselves means that our real self, we are servants of Krishna. But that's not, it's not just an intellectual thinking, okay, I'm a servant of Krishna, all right, and write the Bhakti Shastra exam. Jive Sarup Hoi Krishna Nityadas, full marks. All right, that's very good. All right, very good. Pass your Bhakti Shastra exam. But really, it's not just a matter of calculating that it's like this, it's like that. But it means, as Srila Prabhupada said, that just like the child takes shelter of the mother, that the child doesn't think that, here's my mother, I'm the child, okay, I should go to the mother. They don't think that. The young child, just any little distress, they immediately call out, or even not any distress. In the young age of the child, they have no ability for any intellectual thoughts anyway, but they just naturally take shelter. So just like the child crying for the mother, we take shelter of Krishna. Then when we stop thinking about it, and we learn from Bhagavad Gita that we should take shelter of Krishna, Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita, then he went and fought on the battle, in the battlefield. And at the time, it wasn't that he was there every moment thinking, okay, Krishna told me to fight. Okay, pick up the arrow, put it on the bow and shoot it, Krishna told me. But just, it becomes one with his very being. It's not that he's thinking at every moment, I'm firing this arrow for Krishna, but it's just his whole state of consciousness, just like the materialist, his whole state of consciousness. It's not that he's thinking at every moment, I want to enjoy this material world, I want to dominate it, Ishvaroham Aham Bhogi. He doesn't think like that, but it's just this substratum of his whole consciousness. So a devotee, it's not that at every moment he's thinking, I have to serve Krishna, I have to satisfy Krishna. He may not consciously think that at every moment, but it's just everything he does works on that principle. It's inseparable from him. So this becomes himself. To lose ourself, to lose that the sense of self, I am the enjoyer of this world, and gain ourself, that I am the servant of Krishna, doing everything for Krishna, becoming absorbed in Krishna. Madhvyapashrayaha, fully taking shelter of Krishna, means to become fully absorbed in Krishna, letting go of this material world. Even psychologically, the psychologists, they'll say, you have to let go. People have so much stress time to time. You should let go and just let go of all your worries. And people may do that consciously or unconsciously. They let go of their worries by, they may go to a movie and just forget about what they're doing and become absorbed in a movie. Or they may take intoxication and just forget, drown your sorrows in a bottle of wine. Or any other kind of intoxication. They may, some dancing, they take this. One time I was in Berlin and there was a huge, tens of thousands of people all taking some drugs and dancing 3 days non-stop. And this way they forget themselves. They let go of all their stress or whatever they have. But it's useless, because that light. Letting go means you don't really let go. You just go from one state of ignorance to an even worse state of ignorance. And the relief of forgetting all your problems in getting intoxicated or whatever, it doesn't really bring any relief. It's described in the Bhagavatam. It's like having a heavy weight on your shoulder. Your shoulder's hurting so much. Then take it off the shoulder and put it on the other shoulder. And then the other shoulder hurts. That's all. Just different varieties of suffering. That word I was looking for this morning, I was speaking, that Freud spoke of we have these inhibitions. So we let go of these inhibitions. We have this idea that, I'm afraid to talk to that person. Just be bold. Go, talk. Just let go of all your inhibitions. But there may be a good reason for being afraid. They might slap you in the face. Anything on this material platform, we letting go of our sorrows, our distresses. I just saw something. There's something in America every year. A bunch of people go out to the desert and they have a few days, some kind of New Age festival, and they make this. They make a big house out of wood in which you can go, and then everyone's supposed to go inside and you can write something or you can just sit and you think about all your distresses, all the sorrow, all your grief, all your anger, and you leave it there. People go throughout the day and you deposit it there. It's in that house. And then in the evening, everyone sits around and they burn the house. They burn this structure down. Everyone's watching and think, okay, I burned out all my grief and sorrow and it's all gone. It's supposed to be some psychological release. Well, as Srila Prabhupada said about Freud, his philosophy, his idea that we get some shock in this material world and we have some emotional scar. Actually, that's Vedanta philosophy also, that we have sangskara. We have impressions in the heart, everything we do. And Freud said, well, you get this out of your system. But then Prabhupada said, well, there'll be another shock. That's the nature of this material world. Even if you get rid of all your sorrows, your worries, but then again, it will come again because something else will go wrong, because that's the nature of this material world. First of all, we can't get it out by any material means anyway. And then even if we think we have, then again, some problem will come. We're all being very nice and kind and everyone's smiling at each other. And then someone does something which betrays our trust or whatever. Getting rid of our frustration, repressing our sexual desires. No, just let it all out. Let it go. But it doesn't work, because we are conscious living beings and we have to desire in some way or other. So if we say, let go of our repressed desires and inhibitions, indulge in them. You had so much bad feelings towards someone for such a long time. Just go up to him and tell him, you're a jerk, and then get it out, get it off your chest, as they say, another saying. You have that one? Get it off your chest. Just get it out. But such things, they may have some psychological value, but it's incomplete and imperfect. As long as we're attached to this material world, there'll always be problems. So we have to let go of everything in this world, which means taking shelter of Krishna. Letting go of everything in this world means, I'll say that again, taking shelter of Krishna. We can never be independent. Desire is always there. We have to learn how to desire in such a way that we will not suffer in material existence. Krishna's whole merciful instruction to Arjuna, how not to suffer. How to do that? Take shelter of Krishna. Krishna will protect us. So, taking shelter of Krishna, letting go of our inhibitions, practice. How do we do it? We practice being absorbed. This sadhana process, it's not meant to be just something, okay, now I have to do it, and like clockwork. But actually, becoming absorbed, chanting, kirtan, whatever service we're doing, trying to understand this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then when we're absorbed in Krishna, then there's no room for Maya. It's a simple thing to understand. And if we fill up with Maya, then Krishna won't want to come. And if in our thoughts there's Maya, then where is Krishna? So taking shelter of Krishna means to let out the Maya. Let in Krishna. And then when we take shelter of Krishna, then we become a madman. It's not just a process of follow rules, study. Of course, Krishna consciousness means it's an emotional exchange, taking shelter of Krishna, just like the child to the mother. It's an emotional exchange. Of course, that's on the mundane platform, but it's a good illustration that the child takes shelter of the mother gives shelter to the child. So we take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna wants to reciprocate with us that love. If we let go of this material world, then Krishna will catch us. We have faith that Krishna will catch it. Letting go doesn't mean that it's like jumping off a cliff or floating in space with no place to go. But Krishna, we're sheltered by Krishna. Krishna holds us. Krishna will look after us. That faith is there. And we can feel it also. There's all these atheists now are coming out. Prove it, prove it, prove it. Where's God? We didn't prove it. Yeah. What is this? How are we going to prove that? It's an emotional exchange. They may say, well, we can measure it in your brain. When a man loves a woman, you can see there's different electrical charges in the neurons, but even if you can map it on the brain waves with ECG and all this kind of thing, but that doesn't amount to the experience of love, whatever that may be. So the experience of Krishna is protecting us. Krishna is our best friend. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. What does this prove it? Does everything have to be proved? I really like you. Prove it. Make a scientific theory to prove it. And this is just stupid. It has no. We didn't see any God. All right, you didn't see God. You never will see God, but I do. So, not that everything has to be in a test tube or under a microscope or any such thing. So, it's taking shelter of Krishna. It's not exactly a calculated decision. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita why we must... He doesn't force us. There's no force. If it's force, then there's no shelter. But why it's for our best benefit to do so. But ultimately, a devotee taking shelter of Krishna, when we come to the stage of taking shelter for Krishna, in the beginning, we may do so thinking, this material world is so bad. Artha, distressed person. Let me take shelter of Krishna. Krishna will help me. But when we come to the perfect stage, we're no longer thinking that, this material world is so bad. Let me take shelter of Krishna. That's a major motivation. But in the pure state, we're not even conscious of this material world. It's just an exchange that we love Krishna and Krishna loves us. That is the stage to be aspired for. It's not that just some calculation. Okay, I'll take shelter. Then I'll be all right. Then everything will be all right. That's okay, and that's good in the beginning. But fully taking shelter of Krishna means that it's not to be imitated, but it is to be aspired for. That we're not here just to do some kind of exchange with Krishna, but actually taking shelter of Krishna means to enter into the exchange of love with Krishna. And even taking shelter, that's the beginning. And then there are different exchanges. The friends of Krishna, the mother of Krishna, the lovers of Krishna. And Krishna may appear to take shelter even of the devotee. A very advanced stage, which we can hardly imagine as long as we're trying to take shelter of this material world, but we should understand that is there. We need not imagine it, but the descriptions are there in Shastra, how the devotees, they become so absorbed in Krishna that they think Krishna needs my protection. That's going up very high. Bhagavad Gita teaches us ultimately to take shelter of Krishna. When a devotee is so much absorbed in Krishna, they may think that Krishna needs to take shelter of me. So for such a person who thinks like that, there's no question that they're one who's actually qualified to give shelter to Krishna, there's no question that they have anything to do with this material world. One cannot be allowed, or one doesn't have the qualification to give shelter to Krishna. One is not allowed in the spiritual world. One has no entrance to that platform as long as one has any concept of this material world and how I should enjoy this material world. It's far, far away from this. It's just not anywhere in the consciousness of a pure devotee, any kind of thought of how to enjoy this material world, so we can judge how much we are pure devotees. If we have any desire to enjoy this material world, so we're hearing about this. We should hear, yes, we have to take shelter of Krishna. We have to enter into love of Krishna. And then the process, chanting the holy names, become absorbed in Krishna, in kirtan, in all activity. Actually, all activities are for a devotee. They're all meant for kirtan. They're all meant for glorifying Krishna, remembering Krishna, and then letting go of all material attachments. So that requires some faith. How do we come to this movement? It's not just intellectual, but we can feel also. Yes, we feel attracted. This is real. This is what I need to do. I must come into this. If we take it from the purely intellectual platform of trying to understand philosophy, then agnosticism is maybe the best intellectual platform, because we can't prove anything. So then just don't believe anything. But it doesn't make sense also, because no one's fully agnostic. I mean, when we're hungry, we don't think, well, am I really hungry or not? Maybe it's just all an illusion. So there's no need to eat anything. But we eat. When it comes to satiating our hunger, we're not agnostic on that. If you're going to be agnostic, you should be agnostic about everything. You doubt the existence of God, doubt the existence that I exist, that anything exists. But when you're when the agnostic is hungry, then philosophy gets turned off. Does this bread exist? Does my stomach exist? He takes it for granted. So, actually, it's a very good, even from the point of view of philosophy, at least it seems to me, but I'm not a professional philosopher, and then, to accept that there is, beyond this miserable material world, there is a state of complete and perfect happiness. There is, beyond this material world, there is a controller of this world. There's some intelligence behind it all. That seems to make a lot more sense. But anyway, there are different kinds of philosophers, and they all, and ultimately everyone follows, no one is purely intellectual. There's no such thing as purely intellectual. Everyone follows their inclination. Some people are inclined to be atheists, and some people are inclined to be theists. Everyone has different shadha mayo yang purusha yo yad shadha sa eva saha. Everyone has some kind of faith, and people are known. Their whole personality is defined by what they take shelter of. We may take shelter of atheistic views. And this is our compass in life, that yes, it's clear that there's no God, and so this world is all there is. And then they make their life according to that. And they think they're very superior intellectually. But they can't escape from this analysis of Bhagavad Gita, that everyone has some kind of faith. Krishna already mapped them out. They may not like it, but their inclination is already described by Krishna. So, we have to put our faith somewhere. And when we fully put our faith in Krishna, then we experience Krishna. Full faith means that we take shelter of Krishna. In the beginning, ado shraddha. In the beginning, there's some initial kind of faith. Yes, seems to be very good. Then we associate with devotees who instruct us how to take up the process of devotional service. We take it up. We strive to remove the dirty things from our heart. And this way, there's a gradual increment of faith and experience. We experience Krishna's reciprocation with it, with us. And then we feel, yes, this is real, this is factual. This is, now Maya may present that also to people with some kind of religious experiences. So just our feelings is not enough. People may think that, yes, this is real religion, to go and kill people in the name of religion. God will be pleased. And they have full faith in that. So we have to be careful also. But in this Krishna consciousness process, Shuddha Sattvic, we can analyze. There is the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. Beyond that, the transcendental stage. So in this process of Krishna consciousness, which philosophically there's really nothing anywhere coming close to all of this, but that we experience it also. Taking shelter of Krishna, what does it mean? Atma Nikshepa, throwing ourselves, giving ourselves to Krishna. And we do that more and more as we experience Krishna's reciprocation in our lives. But we have to be very careful of putting our faith in a wrong thing, even in the name of Krishna consciousness. We may think that there are so many ways, so many ideas that people may introduce into the process of Krishna consciousness, which may seem like Krishna consciousness, but it's actually just a little bit off. Either it's a little bit off Sahajya side or a little bit off Mayavadi side. And once you go a little bit off, you get more and more off and off and off. So there is a path given by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra by which we can actually come to Krishna consciousness. Letting go of material attachments doesn't mean letting go of our good intelligence. We have to keep our intelligence clear. What is the actual path? It doesn't mean giving up our principles. You say, oh, just like, you know, all these rules, it's too much, and real love is when it's spontaneous and natural. That's true, but spontaneously, when one is in full Krishna consciousness, one doesn't act for sense gratification on any level. So as long as we have the inclination to act for sense gratification, then we should follow the rules and regulations which restrict us from doing that. So it may say, oh, you're following all these rules and regulations, it's not spontaneous. Yes, it's not spontaneous, that's true. We admit that. But your so-called spontaneity of not following the rules and regulations brings you spontaneously into Maya, into sense gratification. So it's not just that by giving up rules and regulations you become advanced. In the neophyte stage, if one gives up rules and regulations, he becomes a complete rascal. And if he calls that advanced, then that compounds his rascaldom. So we have to be very careful. On the one hand, we want to fully give ourselves to Krishna. But on the other hand, we have to be very careful to understand what that means. Siddhanta balaya chitena koraha alash iha hoite krishna lage surara manash. We are warned to not be lazy in the matter of understanding actually what is Krishna consciousness. In this way the mind becomes attached to Krishna, not by just lazily giving up all regulations, or just out of laziness, we don't bother to try to understand this Bhagavad Gita, which is given by Krishna, by the way. We may think, oh, Bhagavad Gita. What's this Bhagavad Gita? It's just, we want prem. The word prem doesn't come up in Bhagavad Gita, but it's given, this Bhagavad Gita is given by Krishna, that is meant for our benefit. We're bewildered in this material world. Krishna teaches us the basic knowledge that we need. And when we say basic, that doesn't mean it's low, it's higher than everything in this material world. And it is the basis of everything that comes after that. So that requires to be very solid. Otherwise, if we're not fixed in the basics, then we can't go higher. This very high stage of being completely absorbed in Krishna, don't care for anyone. But it's not that you do this madness in Kirtan, and then after that's all over, you smoke a cigarette. No, then that's cheating. That's false. That's not the real thing. So we have to go step by step. Also, other people, different kinds of religious processes, they may let go. The idea that we have to let go of our ego and let go of lose ourselves, but we have to be very careful because they may, by letting go, they may open us up to spirits, the world of disembodied spirits. They take us out of our present consciousness by some kind of process, maybe by smoking some pipe with some kind of hallucinatory drugs. But it's a guided process of how to, and because we're not familiar with this world and it's not the gross world that we're conscious of and there's some power there, then we take that, this is spiritual. Well, in terms of the English word spirit, it is spiritual, but it's not transcendental. It's actually in the mode of ignorance. But for someone who doesn't know what spiritual is, they may think, oh, this is really advanced, and you can see into other people's minds, and you can predict the future, maybe. Seems very spiritual, but it just keeps us in the material world. There are all kinds of things. This faith healing now in the Christian world is just over the last generation or so, this charismatic faith healing, Pentecostalists speaking in tongues. No, his philosophy is almost at a zero. It's all emotional. It's, feel the power of Jesus enter your life. And people go, ah! And they experience something, but it's not transcendental. They think it's spiritual. And they may give up some bad habits, like smoking and drinking. They might do, but they have no proper... But these are the people also who will be saying, Jesus is the only way, unless you follow this, you're going to hell. And they have no proper understanding. It's only on the emotional platform. So by doing so, they are able to let go of what they were before. But then what do they hold on to? Something which is quasi-religious. It's not the real thing. It's there's no spiritual knowledge, and they definitely have some experience, but it's not pure Krishna consciousness. They don't know who they are. What is their relationship to Krishna? And these are religions which emphasize fear, fear of God, fear of Satan. And they get the spirits out of you. This charismatic healers, they say, you're diseased because the Satan or some spirit is in you. And get out, Satan! And then, they do all things, I mean, much more than this. And they feel, and so it's they definitely let go of something, but then what do they get a hold of? It's a religion of fear, a religion of ignorance, and a religion of hatred, actually, in which they say that anyone who hasn't been through this, unless they're washed in the blood of Jesus, then they're all going to hell. And so they let go of what they were, but they catch on to something which is are not the real thing. So be careful of letting go of this mature world, but we have to specifically take shelter of Krishna. Even if we say God, it means we don't know what we're talking about. It's just too vague an idea. Krishna. We have to take shelter of Krishna by the process of devotional service. So, I was speaking in Kirtan. That might seem to be something similar to a psychologist if they're studying. They may say, yeah, someone in the techno rock dance, they forget themselves. And in the Kirtan, it's the same kind of thing. Or this charismatic Christian, it's all the same kind of thing. The varieties of religious experience. It's religious ecstasy. We can study it. And Kirtan, becoming absorbed in Kirtan, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we put that all in the same box of ecstatic religious experience. But there is a difference. That's why philosophy also is required to understand all this. And actually we want that. Kirtan, just become absorbed. But at the same time, we have to remember that the sense of propriety, in public, doing Harinam in public. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Rath Yatra, sometimes in public he would completely lose himself and become like a madman, but that's generally not recommended. You can just wait a few minutes. Anyway, normally the deities don't have kirtan, do they, in the evening? I don't think so. We can all have kirtan after just a few minutes. I know myself, sometimes on Harinam I've just gone completely wild, but in public. But afterward I thought, actually that wasn't very good, because we should maintain some sense of... Otherwise the public just think we're completely mad, but not in a very positive way. They can't relate to that at all. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, we find many instances in his pastimes where he would be acting in an ecstatic manner, but he would pull himself out of that if he noted that members of the public were present who didn't understand it and didn't appreciate it. Who's the most ecstatic personality of the recent times? Srila Prabhupada, obviously. But he didn't, by far, obviously, the most pure devotee. But he was very reticent about showing ecstasy. Even suddenly it happened to him that he would become lost in ecstasy of love of Krishna. And then afterwards he would apologize. There was one incident in Mayapur where Prabhupada was speaking in the lecture, and then he suddenly became stunned when he was speaking. You can hear the lecture where Srila Prabhupada, he's just speaking the philosophy how we have to take shelter of Krishna. He was speaking on this, we have to take shelter of Krishna. And he was speaking in a philosophical manner, just like the gopis. They never wanted anything from Krishna. And then Prabhupada, just after the silence. And what had happened, that Prabhupada, he just became stunned. He was speaking on a philosophical point that we take shelter of Krishna. He gave the example of the gopis. They never wanted anything from Krishna. And all of a sudden, Srila Prabhupada was stunned. He lost himself. And then, after some time, one of the devotees began a kirtan, and then Srila Prabhupada just left the Vyasas. And then afterwards, one of the devotees cautiously, in Prabhupada's room, they cautiously asked Srila Prabhupada, because there was some controversy between the devotees, should we have left Prabhupada in his ecstasy, or should one devotee started kirtan, should he have done that? So devotees, they wanted to know, so they asked that, well, Srila Prabhupada, today in the lecture, you became stunned in ecstasy. And Prabhupada said, well, I don't often do that. It's like apologizing. That ecstasy is required. We understand that's always there in Prabhupada's heart. But it wasn't that he suddenly showed it, but it overcame him. The emotions, he overcame him. So that is natural ecstasy, not that we put it on. Or rather, Srila Prabhupada gave the example of not exhibiting that. In Harinam, so some sense of propriety should be there also. Women in kirtan, they should dance wildly and fully let themselves go, but in their own kirtan, only women only kirtan. Have their own kirtans and then do like that. But then there's all, because in this material world, even in religious setting, man and woman together, there's always some mundane, always the possibility is there. And men also shouldn't. Kirtan, ecstasy, exhibition for women, no such thing. Actually, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan Pai, they're only men. Anyway, Prabhupada didn't give us to that. So, letting ourselves go, same time, some sense of propriety, taking shelter of Krishna. I'll finish now because we have to have the arati and kirtan. I'll maybe say a few more words about this afterwards. Yes, so please go on with the arati. And we can all let go in kirtan. Let go. Forget our... but let it go of the body, the mind, just... what is that? How is that possible? How is it possible? That Bishoya Charya She Roshe Mojia. We can become absorbed in that rasa if we give up all desires for sense gratification. That may not, it's not that you just switch it off. Okay, now I'm switching off desire for sense gratification, now for kirtan bliss, and after the kirtan I'll switch on again the desires for sense gratification. It doesn't work. When we are trying in devotional service, really trying hard to please Guru, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada. And then, when Krishna wants, he will, Bhakti Devi, she will manifest in our heart, she will give it to us. We can't grab Krishna Prem. We can't say, hey, that's for me, now I've got it. It's a gift. Krishna gives that. By his mercy, it comes. So, please begin kirtan. Arti and kirtan.